Gospel chapter number 10 today. It is a joy to be here. Good to see our church building becoming full again. I prepared a message yesterday. I woke up this morning and this is pressed on my heart, so I'm just going to try to mind him today. Found in Luke's Gospel chapter number 10 and verse number 30. If you have a pen and pencil, I would encourage you to get it out and mark a few items in the Word of God today. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. I want to start reading in verse number 30. Verse number 30 of Luke 10. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and watch, he departed, leaving him half dead." Isn't that something? Half dead. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest," underline this, "that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite. When he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But," sure, I'm glad they're in our Bible, "but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was when he saw him. He had compassion on him. And he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn. And like this, he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of it.'" Underline this: "Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. I pray you'd help us in the preaching. God, would you touch every heart that needs to be touched this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the stirring of the Holy Ghost this morning. Pray now you'd help us preach in this hour. I'll be careful to honor you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. In this text, you'll notice there are 3 main thoughts or 3 main thrusts out of these few scriptures. I want to say, first of all, within this, there is an in-depth message. An in-depth message. Then there is a great ministry. And then there's the focus on missions. So a message, a ministry, and mission. Within this text, it's so familiar to us, we know that there was a man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is a type of the church. Jericho is a type the world. And you'll notice within this message, there was a plummeting down. A plummeting down. Look in verse 30. The Bible said, and he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who is sin and Satan. They stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now plummeting down. I wondered this morning, we don't know a lot about the background of this particular Bible character, but we do know that he stayed in Jerusalem. I wonder what caught his eye to make him want to leave Jerusalem and go down to Jericho. You'll notice the Bible's very specific. It don't say when he left Jerusalem that he went up to Jericho. But when he left Jerusalem, he went down to Jericho. So first of all, there was a decision. I wonder what got his attention down in Jericho. Mom and daddies, you remember the story of the prodigal son at the father's house. He was raised around the father's house, but yet something got his attention to go to the far country. Boy, it'd do us good to keep emphasis on the far country where we live. Letting our children know there is a far country. We ought to be careful what they're looking at, what they're listening to. Because there was a decision made from Jerusalem to take him down to Jericho. A decision. You have to always remember this. You just don't wind up down in Jericho from Jerusalem. You've got to make a decision to go. I want to say, be careful about your decision-making process. Because there was a decision involved. And notice, after this decision, there was a departure. He just didn't leave. No doubt he'd been thinking about leaving. Be careful about your mind this morning. Don't let your mind take your feet places that it don't need to go. There was a plummeting down. There was a decision. There was a departure. But then, always notice this. You always watch. There's always danger. When there's a decision and a departure to leave from God's house and God's surrounding, it never does produce good things. I cannot ever show you one person that I've ever met that has left the good things of God and went downtown Jericho and they prospered because they did it. Let this be a warning to all of us this morning. Keep our eyes on Jerusalem and not Jericho. Jericho will paint you a pretty picture, teenagers. They'll show you the prettiest Budweiser commercials. They'll show you the prettiest commercials of Hollywood, but those billboards will never show you what's on the back side of those. And this morning there was a decision, there was a departure. And then there was danger. Now, notice this. There was a plummeting down. Now, then there was a piling on. You know who he met down in Jericho? A bunch of thieves. That's who lives in Jericho. And so there was not only a plummeting down, but it was a piling on. Notice that when they got everything away from him that they wanted. I had you to underline this. If you hadn't underlined it, they departed, leaving him half dead. See, that's what the world of Jericho will do to me and you. They'll get out of us what they want, and then they will depart from us. Young ladies, watch yourself. The young boys at Jericho, they'll just get from you what they want, then they'll leave you. Somebody say amen this morning. Then young men, be careful down in Jericho, because them boys that come in and pile on, they'll get off from you what they want. And then they'll leave you, departing you, leaving you half dead. Isn't that amazing that the Bible said? I pondered this thought a long time in years of preaching. I got a hold of a writer last year that clarified this phrase. When they left him half dead. How are you left half dead? Well, can I tell you that in this passage, that if you'll study your Bible, it's a great truth. For see, when they left him, it's a type of a sinner. He is very much alive manward. He's very much alive worldward. And he's very much alive sinward. But he's dead Godward. Half dead. See, the sinner is alive naturally, physically, mentally, and morally. But he's dead spiritually. This is why the Bible says that we must be born again, passing from death unto life in John 5:24. So as this was a piling on, they left him half dead. He had never been saved. You may be here this morning. You may have never been saved, but yet you're half dead. You're alive to the world. You're alive physically, but you've never been made alive spiritually. But can I tell you, the one that hung on Calvary's cross will accept you by faith this morning and allow you to be born again from above, from another world. The Spirit of God come and live in you, and they'll make you alive unto Christ. I sure am glad that process has happened in my life. I have been born again. So in this passage, there is a message. This message is about a plummeting down. Notice he left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. There was a placing on, but look in verse 31. Now there is a passing by. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Who was he? Oh, he was a great religionist. He was the go-to man. The priest passed by that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now look at verse 31 and note this. The priest, a certain priest that way, he was in the same condition. Can I tell you that religion will never save you, but Jesus will save you this morning. There's so many religious people in America. I heard, I heard a politician that owns a great liquor store said God spoke to them and said to do this. Well, I wonder about folks that say they know God and in the liquor business. Somebody. People so confused, they're caught up in religion. Let me tell you something. When you get saved, I want to say this publicly this morning. You probably won't stop sinning every now and then, but I guarantee you one thing, you won't enjoy sinning every now and then. And so, there was this piling on. They left him half dead. Have you ever been made alive to Christ? Is church just dead to you? When a preacher gets up and reads a text, does the Scripture ever speak to you at home? When you open your Bible, does the Lord ever talk to you out of His Word? Can you see spiritual thing? Half dead. I'm glad God makes us very much alive by the Spirit and the power of God. That's why He said you must be born again. Now watch this. There was a passing by, verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Same condition. We saw him pass by on the other side. Now look at verse 32. And likewise a Levite. Well, who was he? Well, they was in charge of the law. They, not only do we find in this text religious people, but very ritual people. They were steeped in rituals. A Levite come by. So we see this man, he's wounded. Thieves have stripped him of everything he's had. He's down on this Jericho road. And a priest pass by on this side. And your Bible says this, look at it. And a Levite pass by on the other side. It takes me to the next point this morning. Not only was there a passing by, verse 33, there was a pulling up. For here it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, many of you that's heard me preach this through the years, you know where I'm going with this, but some of you have probably never seen this. But there is religion came by chance, passed by on one side. Then there's the Levite, the man full of rituals. He came and he passed by on the other side. Now, this common sense tells me if it's one on that side and one on that side, but a certain Samaritan, aren't you glad there was a man one day that come walking in the middle? Can I tell you, on Calvary's cross, there was a thief on both sides, but the Lord was in the middle. I sure am glad He pulled up in my life one day. I was raised in church since I was carried, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't like church like some of you. I just came because I had to be there. But oh, one day, the man in the middle, he came down where I was, and I want you to look what our text says. He didn't kick him. He didn't chew him out and say, why in the world did you leave Jerusalem? He didn't need to be told all that. He knew all that. But let me tell you what he needed. Compassion. He needed somebody to care about him. He had compassion. Can I ask you this morning, do you have compassion? I've seen mom and daddies raise children in this ministry, and they say this, my kids will never do that. But when they did that, I noticed that God did a work in their life, and now they show compassion. When I was a young preacher, somebody told me about 15 years ago, they said, Brother Ken, you don't preach the way you used to preach. Thank you. I won't even listen to my own sermons 25 years ago. I was so hard and so strict. But honey, let me tell you, when that bear comes down to your house, you're going to need some compassion. You're going to need somebody not to bring the law books out on you, but to show you mercy and to help you this morning. You remember the other morning I preached that candle message? Do you remember that? Anybody remember the candle message? Would you raise your hand this morning? Did you notice that when those candles went out, I put something in an illustration on that message now that the Lord's allowing me to use. I leave one candle burning and the other two are out. And I take those two candles that have been blowed out and the one candle that's still burning, these that has went out, I'm going to tell you something, they can be lit back. And when this candle that's still lit, when it lights them back, they don't lose any brightness. It maintains its brightness by lighting other candles. Why, isn't it messed up when you love some people that falls? Isn't it messed up when you love to hear the news, somebody did this and somebody's made a mistake? That's messed up. We ought to be encouraging one another, helping one. Jesus came to where He was. You say, well, I can't believe that they did this. Honey, I can't believe what you'd do in the right circumstance. I can't believe what I'd do in the right circumstance. That's why we need the God of glory filling our life every day of our life. Have compassion. I love that text where the woman was caught in adultery. There's a group of fellers there, and boy, they had all their rocks in hand. Jesus walked up. I heard an old man preach another week. I love what he said, Brother David. He said, them men was fixing to throw them rocks, and Jesus reached down. He said, He wrote in the sand. Oh, I like what the old man of God in the mountain said. He said, you know why them fellas turn around and run, Brother Adam? Because He wrote down all the names of them people that they had been with. Get quiet. I'll preach a while this morning. And they all left out. You see, listen to me, church. If you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground. there are repercussions for sin. You hear me this morning. But oh, with our brother and sister in Christ, we must want to restore them and lift them up and help them in this day and this hour. Jesus had compassion. Do you have compassion? You young people, it tickles me. I see you raising children and things you think and things you do. It's just, I love watching you. Because the reason I love watching you, because I'm older now. Some of you laugh when, you know, you get older and you do some stuff that's sort of crazy. Well, you just hold on. You'll be there one of these mornings. Show compassion. I was reminded, me and Renee was out in the yard. We just got married. Her granddaddy was burning leaves. Boy, he had a big fire going. And all of a sudden, brother, he went in a panic. He got me and Renee. He said, y'all, my teeth, they was in my shirt pocket. I'm burning my teeth up. Y'all help me find my teeth. Me and Renee went to looking in all that fire. He said, no, hold on. They're in my mouth. Somebody say amen. Yeah, man. I'm going to laugh now, friend. Show compassion. Thank God we need to show compassion. Love and mercy and compassion. I told a preacher the other day, I said, I'll tell you one thing. When I stand before God, I may be reprimanded for many things, but God will never get on me for showing compassion and mercy. Oh, my goodness, this morning, there was a pulling up. Brother Hired said this morning in prayer room, some of you men ought to come to prayer room. It's one of the greatest services we have. He throwed his hand up and said, I want to thank the Lord for coming to where I was. Have you ever forgot where you was when the Lord come to you? He showed compassion. So in this text, there is a message, there is a ministry. The Lord came by. There was a pulling up. He came to where He was. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to fallen man? The Baptist church can't save you. The Roman Catholic church can't save you. But Jesus can save you this morning. And He is one of the greatest types in our Bible. As the Good Samaritan. Now watch this, and I'll be done preaching today. There was a pulling up. But verse 34, something happens. There's a pouring in. I like this, what it says. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. You know, Jesus can change the situation. I'm so thankful one day when he came to where I was, he poured something in me. As I lit that candle the other day and I told you about it, you can say all the things of that candle that you want. It don't affect it. It just keeps on burning. There's a lot of people told me that it'd wear off. It'd wear out. Ken's got a dose of religion. But let me tell you something. That August day of 1981, Brother Tommy, when God poured that oil in me, it changed my life. And I know it's changed yours. And I'm thankful there was a pouring in. Aren't you glad that when you meet the Lord, He leaves you in a different way than how He found you? He poured something in. It went inside. So now there is a pouring on. The Bible simply said that He went to Him, bound up His wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Joy. Wine in the Bible is always a picture and a type of joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then watch this. There was a pouring in. Then verse 34, I've heard a lot of people say, well, preacher, I'd get saved if I could live it. Time out. You won't never be able to live it. But He can live it for you. Look what He does. Not only was there a pouring in, there was a placing on. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Put him on something. Aren't you glad we don't have to get home by ourselves? Y'all remember the other morning when I was preaching on Isaac and Rebekah? Remember when the camels were coming, that camel of grace came by and she got on that camel. She got on that camel going to to somebody she had never seen, but she loved him. And friend, the day me and you get saved, I sure am glad that God is sure that we'll make it home by what He produces for us in this journey in our life. Now here I told you there was a message. There is a ministry, but church, I want you to get this, and I'm done preaching. There is a mission. I never seen this for years, but I sure am glad the Lord showed it to me. Watch this mission. Can I tell you, God's very mission-minded. Every first Sunday of the month, there's an envelope on the back of our pews. Many of our families would give to that envelope. It goes to missions. We have a missionary family that takes care of that, sends out that funding once every quarter, four times a year. Those missionaries receive a check from this ministry, from your giving. What are you talking about with missions, preacher? Oh, it's in our Bible. Watch this. Not only was it a placing on, but in verse 34, there was a putting up. The Bible said that He put Him on His own beast and brought Him to an inn and took care of Him. Now watch what He does. And on the morrow, when He departed, He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And underline this, church, and always remember this. You may think that it's costing a whole lot to spend on missions or a whole lot to spend on God's people. But I want you to look what the Lord said. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay thee. The missions involved. There's a putting up. Now, notice He brought him to an inn. He didn't take him just to any place. I want to ask you this morning. The Lord is so good when He saves you. I hear people say this, I'm saved. Well, tell me this, where you go to church? Saved people go to church. Saved people go to church. He brought him to an inn. I love what He done. The Bible said on the morrow He departed. You know what that tells me? Jesus spent the night. Could you imagine? Here's a boy that left out of Jerusalem, fell in Jericho. Thieves, thugs got him, got everything he had. The Good Samaritan came, had compassion on him, poured oil and wine up in him, set him upon a beast, and He led him into that inn. The Bible said on the morrow He parted, so there is no doubt Jesus spent the night. This man, no doubt, went to some place and spent the night. Could you imagine getting up that morning when he got up and he looked around and he said, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? I've never had nobody love me like Him. I've never had nobody give me things like He's given me things. I've never had nobody show compassion on me the way this man has. Where is He at? I believe the innkeeper tells us the story in the Bible. We left out. But I want you to have hope. Because He's not staying gone. He said when He returns, whatever we spend on you, He's going to repay us. And He's going to see about it. Can I tell you something this morning? You write this in your notes and you can trust this statement right here. And you hear me and hear me good today. I'm done preaching. You will never, ever outgive God. You will never, ever outgive God. I want to say this. The Lord has brought it in my heart. One of the missionary friends, one of the dearest friends I've got, he's got 3 children. The young boy now, he's turned 16. They're on the road, Brother Lee, traveling every week of their life. Y'all may think they're getting rich on the road, but I promise you this. It takes a miracle to keep them on the road. Just trust me, it keeps a miracle to keep them on the road. They was at a church the other day. A man walked up to him and he said, I went to trade my vehicle, and God told me to give this to your boy. So he called him, brought it to church. The little kid come out. That church member said, God told me when I was supposed to trade this in that this is your son's. And he called his name. I'm not going to call his name. And he said, here is your truck. And he began to weep.
Yeah.
And he began to cry. They went down the next church. You know what the men done? They heard about it. You know what they done? They said, well, that boy needs some nice tires and wheels on that truck. Let's put him a lift kit under it. And they all punched in together, took it down yonder, lifted it up, put some of them flashy rims on it. Somebody say amen. Man, they sent me a picture yesterday and that boy smiled. You couldn't wipe it off his face. What are you talking about? God's people just being good to God's people. Could that catch on in our congregation? Could you realize you will never, ever outgive the Lord? He said, whatever thou spendest more when I come. Miss Sherry, you come.